We're turning to the book of Isaiah tonight, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and we'll commence to read at the opening verse there, Isaiah the 43rd chapter, and commencing to read at verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing on to the reading of his word tonight. We have been looking this week, as we have gone through in our week of prayer, at God's promise box. At number one Monday night, the promise in the rainbow. Then last night, Tuesday, the promise for those who are burdened. And now tonight we come to a third promise in God's word, and we have it here in Isaiah the chapter 43, the verse 1 through to the verse 3. And tonight is the promise in time of trouble. The promise in time of trouble. I'm sure you will recognize the name Thomas Bilney. Bilney was condemned to be burned for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was comforted as they were bringing him along to the fire, and he put his hand toward the flame, and he felt the heat of it, and he said, I feel by experience, I have learned by philosophy, that fire by God's ordinance is naturally hot. But yet, I am persuaded by God's holy word, and by the experience of some spoken of in it the same, that in the flame they felt no heat, and in the fire no consumption. And so Bilney went on to say, I constantly believe that howsoever the stubble of this my body shall be wasted by it, yet my soul and spirit shall be purged thereby. A pain for the time, wherein notwithstanding follows joy unspeakable. Then he began to divulge his thoughts on the text that we're turning to tonight in Isaiah 43, and in particular the verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Some of his friends had witnessed the whole sordid matter of Bilney being burned. They took a lot of consolation that day out of a very sad and a sorry scene, and they noted down in their books and pamphlets the various comforts they had drawn from Thomas Bilney's courageous words as he went to be burned at the stake. There was an old bishop involved in this burning, Bishop Nix. And Nick said, after hearing himself what Thomas Bilney, that honourable martyr of Jesus Christ, after what he said at the stake, the bishop said, I fear I have burned Abel and let Cain go. Don't know exactly who he had in mind when he was thinking of Cain, but he certainly felt very strongly that the wrong man has gone to the stake, and a man that did not deserve. But Bilney went and burned for Jesus Christ, and felt the Lord and his presence with him even in that extremity. What we have in the verses in front of us tonight, Isaiah 43, 1-3, very familiar words indeed. I'm sure you've read them, meditated upon them, and drawn the marrow out of them on many more than just one or two occasions. At many times in pastoral visitation, I will turn to these words, in particular in hospital visitation. The Lord, we know, has given us many, many wonderful promises, and he assures us of that in 2 Peter 1 and 4, but he guarantees, not only does he give us these great and precious promises, but he says they will not fall to the ground without aim, without purpose, or without fulfillment. They will be fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. So when we come to another promise patch tonight, as we do here in Isaiah 43 verse 1-3, we can say, I'm taking this promise to myself, and I know God will fulfill it for me. The first heading that we're looking at tonight is the people who are addressed here. Who are the people in mind that we're reading off? Well, look at verse 1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee. Who is the thee? By thy name, thou art mine. So the people that are in view here are those who belong to God. They are Christians. They're belonging to Jesus Christ. And they belong to him as we do if we are his, in a threefold sense. These people belong to him by creation. And you see that in the opening words. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. And in verse 7 again, it's underlined once more, middle of verse 7, I have created him for my glory. So those that the promise is coming to him are those who belong to him by creation. They also belong to him by redemption. And the Lord, as we know in one of our wonderful songs, the great Creator became my Savior and shed his lifeblood on Calvary. He is our Redeemer too. And so in the middle of verse 1, what do we have? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Not only created and formed by him, but redeemed by him. We belong to him by creation, by redemption. And then there's a third thing that predates, comes in before he created us, and therefore has to come in also before he redeemed us, and that is, we are his by election, and you see that in verse 1 as well. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Before we were in the belly, the Bible says, the Lord knew us. He knew us by name, because in the great covenant mercies of his, he had joined us to himself in election, and we would receive in time that effectual call of grace. So these are the people here who were being addressed. Before creation, before redemption, he had purposed we would be his. So I am his tonight because he has chosen me, because he has made me, and because he has redeemed me. And then look at verse 3 as well to complete the picture as to who these people are. Verse 1 is, thou art mine. Verse 3 is, for I am the Lord thy God. Thou art mine, I am thine. And so we have that hymn, don't we? His forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. I am his, and he is mine. The people who were addressed, those who are going to receive and can stand upon this promise. But then the second thing we're looking at here is not only the people addressed, but the pathway that is advanced. Or the path along which these people, who were the Lord's, the path that they are going to travel upon. And you will know by experience and by reading the Word that the Christian life, it's nowhere said it's going to be an easy life. It's not a bed of roses. It's not a simple, plain way. It's not a self-indulgent way. It's not one that is just comfort after comfort after comfort. You don't know a lot of creature comforts along parts of this way, that is for sure. And Isaiah 43 makes that perfectly plain. Sometimes it'll be through the water, the prophet is saying. Other times it will even be through the fire. And I think maybe for those in the world tonight, they may think, the Christian has it easy. The Christian always is smiling. Whether we are or not is another thing. But the Christian must have things quite smooth and simple in their lives. Because they're God's favourites, you know. Well, yes, all of God's people are His favourites. But what does the Lord say about His favourites? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Trial is inevitable. Can come from the Lord's hand to correct us, can come in from the devil in terms of temptation after temptation, can come from the wickedness of man around us who does not like the child of God any more than he does like his Savior. And so we have persecutions from man. All of these things to make sure the way is not an easy one. In verse 2, in Isaiah 43, we're told four things about this pathway along which we must and will advance. And that is, it's first of all, a planned pathway. It's planned by God. It's divinely ordered and it's divinely ordained. Our Lord, who was sovereign, who knows the end from the beginning, who is Alpha and Omega, who speaks through his people. He is looking ahead here, and he says, you're going to pass through water, and you're going to pass through fire. If we are, and we shall, take comfort, because he knows all about the pathway, in that he has planned it for us. And so like Job, we can say with confidence in Job 23 and verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. And even go on to quote him further, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So it's a pathway that has been planned by God. It is also one that is peppered with obstacles. It can be a rough and a testing way. That's why, again, we have the words in two here, through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire, and also here, the flame. That's something that Thomas Bilney, that we've mentioned at the beginning tonight, had to go through. Many other men, including Jerome of Prague, another true servant of Jesus Christ, who has noted on this point, that when he was led into the fire, when he was burning, he began to sing praises unto the Lord God Almighty. So it's a way that is peppered with obstacles. And God, as has been pointed out many, many times, does not say here in Isaiah 43 in verse 2, if thou passest, but rather when thou passest. It's not a matter of if. It is a matter of when it is going to happen. Not only that, planned by God, peppered with obstacles, it's plentiful in its twists as well. A lot of varied testing. It's not always the same. Today will be different to tomorrow, will be different to another day when there comes another trial and another rocky patch along life's road. We can't say, just because we've got through one obstacle, we'll just wheel out the exact same plan to encounter the next one, because the next one will be another twist and a potentially different twist. Just read through the book of Psalms and you see the whole variety and the gamut of problems the psalmist encountered at various parts of the journey. Look at other Christians around you. You may be facing trial, but somebody else is facing a larger trial, and somebody else, a rather excruciating part of the pathway they're on. And oftentimes you've said, in all honesty, Lord, I thank thee. You haven't put me down that road. Because that road that my friend is going down right now, I would hate to be on that one. Plentiful in its twists, water and fire. And not only that, but it's painful to traverse. Painful. We read of water here. The fear of drowning, of it rising up, overcoming you. The rivers, the fire as well, and the flames, and that's speaking very clearly of pain. These experiences can very well be severe. Now, if I were to say we're stopping now, somebody might say, great, amen, hallelujah, but I'm not. If our study were to end right here at this point, when I've just mentioned, planned by God, but peppered with obstacles, plentiful in twists, painful to traverse, we'd kind of be left in the middle of desolation here. But that's not where this text and this promise, that's not where it leaves us. Because while we have the people here and it's the pathway that they're advancing along, there is the promise assured. And it's only by the word of God coming in this blessed promise that we can encounter the water and we can encounter the flame. The promise that is assured. God, we've said, does not break his word. And here he makes a fourfold promise to his own people. What does he promise us? Well, he promises, first of all, the security of his property. We're back to that phrase, verse 1, thou art mine. But notice what comes in after that. Fear not. Thou art mine. Fear not. Mine by creation. Mine by redemption. Mine by election. I am not taking my eye of you because you belong to me. And my eye is upon you every step of the journey. Going through the water, I can see where you are. Going through the fire, I can see exactly where you are. And so there is this security of his property here. Not only that, he promises the adequacy of his protection. Not only the security of his property, but the adequacy of his protection. Verse 2 again, they shall not overflow thee. Thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Saints will not be consumed, but the dross in us will be consumed. And even those who have gone to a martyr's fire have said the very same thing. They have said, Lord, I am going into the fire, and this for me is the portal to glory, and all it'll do will be take away my dross. Though the situation is desperate, the Lord will not allow it to overwhelm us, but will through it make a way for us to escape. Security of his property, adequacy of his protection, the constancy of his presence is here as well. Verse 2, when these things happen, what can we look forward to? I will be with thee. Just as he was with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in Daniel 3, the verse 19 through 28, so he will be with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because God is my helper. The security of his property, the adequacy of his protection, the constancy of his presence, and the other wing here that we have in terms of his promise to us, the fulfillment of his promise or his purpose. God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has an intention in everything that happens to his children. How often do we quote Romans 8 and the verse 28? We know that all things, without exception, work together for good to those who were called according to his purpose, the fulfillment of his purpose. We can't see the end plan. We can't see the goal or the target. That's what God's eye is upon. He has designed that. And notice, again in verse 2, and we have it repeated, when thou passest through, you are going through. You're not going to be caught up in the center of this and stay there. You are getting through to the other side. The end, ultimately, will be eternal glory. And when we get our feet on that glory shore, the hymn writer said, oh, that will be glory for me. And so it will. But it'll be the portal to eternal glory. Glory that never ends. And we've been enriched through trials. We've been refined through trials. We will be sanctified through trials. Why? Because we come through. God always brings us through. His purpose will be fulfilled. And how do we know this will happen again? Well, look at verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God. The one making the promise. He is not able only to make it, but he is able to completely fulfill it. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. The Lord is saying there, I'm going to be absolutely beside you the whole journey through. I'm doing all these things for you. I will keep doing all these things for you. In verse 5, I will bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west, say to the north, give up to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone. We're all included. Everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. He's to glorify me now, and he will share in my glory in eternity to come. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So here we have the people that are identified for this promise, the pathway along which we walk, and we have the promise that to us is assured. And may Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3 in particular, but on down through the chapter, as we've noted some of the verses, may it continue to be a blessing to our hearts. And not only guard and guide, but gladden our spirits in Jesus' name.